Hey, I'm Loredana.
And I'm Christina.
And welcome to Spirit Says. That was weird.
Hey, Lori.
Hi, how are you? This is the first time that you've actually pressed record and it says recording in progress by continuing. I'm like, I've never heard that before.
I know, that's okay. Weird. Hopefully I didn't mess something up.
Oh, you got that too?
Yeah.
So weird.
Did it scare you? The third person?
It scared me because that voice always scares me. I'm like, who is that voice? What is her name? I need to know her. That's where it goes. That's where I go with it. Oh my gosh.
Well, don't try to become best friends with that person. Because
wasn't there a movie like that?
Oh, yes. There was.
Right? Where like who is the actor? He's a famous actor. He's a good actor.
Was it Joaquin Phoenix? No?
Yes. And like he falls in love, and I'm like, that is weird.
Is that him? Oh god, I hate when we get our information wrong.
No, you're right. Joaquin Phoenix, right? Yes.
Yeah.
I think he played Johnny Cash, right?
Yes.
So
I'm saying he also played Johnny Cash, as if I know. I didn't even see that movie. Okay. I'm like, yes, everything you say, yes.
I'm
a yes person.
Oh my god. I think we just finished our conversation before this podcast. We are yes people. That's the problem.
Say that again?
I said we are yes people. That is
the
problem.
Oh, yes. That's right.
You know?
No, I don't mind it. I like yes people. Honestly, I do.
I like yes as long as it's not taking away a yes from my own self. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about the phrase "I'll be happy when"? Like, do you go through that when it comes through?
You know what? Honestly, when I was younger, a lot I did.
Yeah,
when I was like teenage years. Definitely. Or life will be good when I'm happy.
Okay.
Even I remember when I was
a kid. What did you think was going to make you happy? Like, I'll be happy when.
Well. Okay, so when I was a kid, it was kind of like, I did something wrong. I got in trouble and I'm like, all I need to do is make my way back to happiness. Then when I got older, it was like, I'll be happy when I achieve the things that I want to achieve, the goals, the accomplishment, you know, maybe when I become an actress, or, you know, when I'm enlightened, when I'm a yoga.
Right.
When I do enough yoga that I become enlightened. You know,
it's so true.
And now it's like, I look back and I'm like, it's an interesting thing, because I'm definitely not in the same place. I feel, I don't know if that has to do with just because when you have kids, things start to, or is it age, you know, is it kids or is it age that makes you kind of,
I think it's both. I think it's a little both. I think kids, definitely have you live more in the moment, which is a part of the podcast that we're going to talk about today. And I think age, definitely, because like with wisdom, like because you have accomplished things in your life and you've gotten to that happy place, and then you're like, all right, well, I'm still not fully happy, you know. Like, we're always looking for the outside happiness, like these are my right now I'll be happy when things, like right now as I am. So my right now happy is like, I'll be happy when I publish my poetry book. I'll be happy when we get however many listeners to this podcast. I'll be happy when, I don't know, something in this house like gets fixed, you know, like whatever that may, like the guest room needs to get changed, or I'll be happy when I lose these, you know, these like 15 pounds, you know. It's always that. But I mean, I've been on that road too, where I have gotten to like the losing weight or the fixing the parts of the house or having something published. And it's never really full contentment for me. You know what I'm saying? Cause it's all outside stuff.
Yeah. Actually, let's talk about, cause I definitely want to come back to you on what you were just saying there.
Yeah.
But just to introduce the topic today.
Yes.
Which is, the niyama samtosha, which means contentment. So it basically, so I was saying to Laura, I cannot find my a book that I had, well, it was a very brief little saying on Santosha in the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like a perfect saying, and I can't remember what it, and I can't remember what it was, but as I was telling somebody briefly, that if you go in and get this book, if you go and read about the yamas and niyamas, when you actually start, and then you talk about it, and then you discuss it with people that have interest, like we're doing, we have interest in this topic, we're discussing it, it actually really kind of cements it inside of you. It actually brings it life and understanding, and you really start to live that. You know, like when we did the cleanliness, I started to live the cleanliness. Like my, I know we weren't talking too much about cleaning your house, but my apartment is clean and I want it clean just because it makes me feel good inside, you know? But so more on like what the topic is today, Santosha, contentment. One of the things it was saying, as a result of contentment, you gain joy. So if we're looking for, you know, if we're thinking there's highs and there's lows, and if I'm in my low, I have to reach my high, which is of course what we think of as happiness, as joy, as laughter, is like, what is that ultimate joy inside of you, that we think that that is contentment, or no, we don't think it's contentment, but we think that that is the ultimate goal. But actually the ultimate goal is contentment. Contentment actually brings joy. So what actually is contentment? What is it like to want to actually, instead of having a goal for happiness, have a goal for contentment, you know, just to be content. And anybody can actually just be content right here, right now, if you allow yourself. But it's just a matter of changing the perspective, right? You have to kind of shift the way your mind is programmed to think, whether or not you programmed it that way, or society did, or somebody in your life planted that seed.
Contentment doesn't mean you just like, we're just sitting back and we're like relinquishing the need to do anything. It literally means to accept and appreciate what we have and who we already are, so that we can move forward from there. So it's literally acceptance of what we have and who we are. So then now we have to go into, well, how do we accept who we are? You know, like, because that somebody can turn around and be like, but I don't like who I am. Okay, well, let's go from there.
You can be content in understanding that you have desires and that you have goals, and that right now, just accepting, okay, this is where I am right now. This is where I am sitting in my seat right now, metaphorically speaking. And my goal is that one day I have, let's just say, an acting career, or let's just say that. And so I, you know, I have to do these steps, but I am content in the fact that I am at this point on the timeline right now. I'm at the, decimal on the timeline right now, where this is where I'm at. And just to be content in that, so that you're actually not creating, you know, unnecessary fear, unnecessary overwhelming, you know, ideas in your head that are completely unnecessary. So that's, you know, one aspect of thinking about contentment, just to observe where you are and just go, okay, this is where I am. These are the desires that I have. And it's okay that I have those desires, and it's okay that is where we're at right now.
Right. So yeah, you know, I mean, it's definitely in our human nature to always, you know, to want more. And in that wanting more, it's always like, cause we do want to better ourselves, right? So we want the car, we want the promotion, we want to lose weight, you know, but all these things, you know, will make us happy, but that initial joy of those things will eventually fade, right? So then you have to think, okay, I then have to start finding things, you know, within, you know, like what's gonna make, like I think people, it's not just people, it's just the world that we live in, you know, commercials, TV shows, family and friends, that, you know, they're always telling us, you know, how to better ourselves outside of ourselves. So I mean, I think the point to reach inside happiness is to not have attachment to things, you know, outside of us. It's non-attachment, and non-attachment, and appreciating who we truly are, is what's going to bring us this, this Santosha that we talk about, this endless contentment, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. I was actually talking to somebody the other day, and there's definitely different aspects of non-attachment for people and different aspects of all the yamas and the niyamas that we were talking about, that the yamas, about what does that mean to you, what it means to me, what the things that I might be attached to may be very different from what you're attached to.
True.
You know, like,
true,
you might be attached to something like from the past that you can't let go of. I might be attached to an idea of how I see myself, you know?
Right.
So, and just finding the contentment with your self-acceptance, right? Is such a beautiful thing. And it's almost like, and we haven't gotten to the last one, we haven't gotten to our last niyama, but I feel like that is true bliss, is just being able to be content is bliss, you know?
Right.
Being at, like, wherever you are in life with whoever you are, and knowing that there's a journey ahead,
right?
And understanding that the journey was, you know, there's a journey behind you, and just being okay with where you are, is a beautiful thing. And I actually, started, okay, so a while ago I watched this movie, which of course I don't know the name of it, but I feel like it's Jessica James, I might be wrong. So it's about a writer that she teaches improv classes to kids, and she writes, and then she meets her famous writer. She was like crazy.
Me watch this movie. I thought this movie was great. Please tell the story, because I like this. Yes.
So she meets the famous writer that she has admired, and she's in that position that she's this is the wish that she has for herself. This is her desire, to be a famous writer, to come out with this amazing book and then be famous because of it. And then, you know, in her mind, that is what success is. That is what accomplishment is.
Right.
And she went over to her, and the lady came to do a talk for her students. And then she went to her afterwards, and she said to her, "What is it like to be where you are, to have succeeded, and to be there? What's it feel like?" And she said to her, "Are you writing every day? Are you doing?" And the girl was like, "Yes, I'm writing every day." And she's like, "Are you doing this and doing that?" And she's like, "Yes." And she's like, "That's what it feels like."
Mm-hmm.
That you're not, like, you're expecting this big rush.
Like, there's no end goal, right?
Yes. Yeah. You're expecting this big rush, this big shift, this change in your life. Like, the whole world is going to be just such a better place once you've reached a success. But as a matter of fact, it's going to be the same. And then you're going to want another creative project to create. And that's what life is, you know?
It's not
being in the journey is what it is, you know?
I like that a lot, because it's after you told me to watch that movie. And then, because for a very long time, I would not call myself a writer, because I thought, like the woman, Jessica James, in the movie, that to be a writer means you had to have accomplished something. You had to have your name on a book somewhere. So I would never say that. But then once you had me watch that movie, I was like, oh my God, I do write every day. And then a friend of mine told me, "You are a writer. You write every day." And then my husband was like, "You have to start saying you're a writer, because you are a writer." So once I started saying those words out loud, I really like understood that. I was like, I'm a writer. That's what I do. Like, there is no end goal. Like, yeah, of course it would be nice to publish a book or whatever, but in the same token, I am a writer. It's like saying, I'm a human, you know, like that is exactly who you are. Now, what who you are as a human are just the external things of you, you know, what my likes and dislikes are and all that other stuff. But I am a writer. I may not have my name on a book somewhere. So I thought that was really, really cool. That movie was really awesome.
Yeah.
But I think that we forget that we are part of nature. We change. and life is impermanent. We've talked about this before. So, you know, your goals are going to change. Your the things that you want are going to change. And as you grasp the things outside of you that are going to bring you joy, that's going to change too. And that is why we need to find the constant, the contentment we talk about today. Because that doesn't leave you. Once you begin to find your true self, what truly lies beneath, then we can start coming closer to accepting that things around us change, just like the weather, the seasons, and all that stuff. And that, you know, but once we find out who we truly are on the inside of us, it's like we find that contentment. We'll be able to find that peace that we talk about.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was listening to the Highest Self podcast, which is one of my favorite lovely ladies to listen to, Sahara Rose. She's fantastic. She's all about, you know, empowerment. And one of the things that she was talking about is how to succeed in life and whatever goals you have. And this is just going back to, you know, what we were talking about with writing, with your writing and stuff like that. She said, put yourself in that energy already. Imagine that you are the thing that you want to be. You're already in it. You have all the success that you know, think that you have to have. Just surround yourself in that energy, be in that energy. And that's the way you get to your success. And she's written books.
That's so true.
She's done, you know, she just keeps going because she doesn't sit there and think about all the obstacles in her path to get to the, you know, quote unquote place that she wants to be. She just allows herself to believe that she's there already. And she just surrounds herself with that energy.
Right. And that's how manifestation works, you know, when I was like studying, like how all that stuff works, it's kind of like, instead of asking for the things, already say, thank you for it. Like when you pray, like, when I pray for things, I don't say, I actually already thank him. I already say, and God, thank you for, and so, you know, whatever it might be, even if I haven't even received it yet, but I know that if it's in his will and it is due to be mine, then I'm already thanking him for it. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so true. If you put yourself already in that mindset, you know, you're definitely going to be, you know, already that person. And, you know, going back to that whole figuring out who you are will bring you contentment.
Mm-hmm.
I think the reason why there are crazy shoppers out there, right? Like, why does somebody feel that if they continue to shop, they're going to find joy?
Oh, yeah.
It's because you're never going to find it because you're never realizing that who you really are. Like, you're going to go for the black shirt because you think that that's what you want, but you don't really know. Or you're going to go for the pink shirt because you saw it on somebody else and it looked good on them. So you're hoping it looks good on you, but like, it never brings you that strong, you know, that joy. But I think if once you get to know who you really are, you're going to say to yourself, I don't really need to buy myself a black shirt to be happy. Mm-hmm. I like that pink shirt looks phenomenal on that person. That's awesome. You know, like, but I already had, like, be happy with what you have already. Like, I already have a pink shirt. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I think we're always grasping for outside things because we're not figuring out who we truly are.
Yeah. And we're trying to attach ourselves to, or kind of grab onto that spark of happiness that we had at that moment when we got the shirt. And then we take the shirt, we wear the shirt, 2 days later we're sick of the shirt, you know, we're like, need to go out and buy more clothes,
right.
I'm done with this shirt. You know, you throw it in the laundry, take it out, ballies start to form on it, and you're like, this shirt sucks. Why did I get this shirt? This shirt was not me.
right. But I think, you know, that's why so many of us go through these anxieties and depressions and these self doubts, is because we don't know who we are. And when you don't know who you are, you don't trust yourself enough to be happy. You don't trust yourself enough to think that you deserve happiness, that you deserve, you know? So I think getting down to the nitty gritty, you know, and figuring out who you are. And now we can, you know, now we can discuss, how do we do that? How do we figure out who we are? How do we get, you know, down to ourselves?
And briefly, because I know you want to shift into what you were just saying right now.
Yeah.
I really feel like that's a part of how addictions are formed.
Yes.
You know, this kind of like feeling of that is the thing that's going to bring me happiness. That's the thing that's going to make me feel good emotionally, physically. And then when you don't have it, you just go back to, I need it again. That's the thing.
So true.
And that only happens when we're not taking a pause to look at our thoughts, to look at our life and go, wait, this is not the path that I ask myself to be on.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I have different intentions, of course, like, you know, we can guide ourselves through the past. Not to say that you have to have a path. You also listen, right?
Yes.
But I mean,
yes.
God wants joy for you. He doesn't want like addictions that cover up you dealing with your own
stuff.
You know, stuff. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Stuff is the word
yeah.
because
it's true because we all have stuff. Right? Mm-hmm. We all have stuff, and instead of running away from it, it's best to find ways to deal and cope with it. And find, you know, like why, like you just said, why do addictions happen? Like, obviously there's something deeper there. It's not because, you know, you want to do, like I have a friend who cannot stop smoking, you know, and that's an addiction. Mm-hmm. And he's admitted, I don't even like to do it. It's just, I'm so used to doing it. But like, you know, it's like mind over matter. Like they have, I think that weight loss company called Noom. And it's like, it actually speaks about how people are losing so much weight. Not because it's a diet, not because it's like some kind of protein shake or anything like that. It's literally like the way you speak to yourself is you're not going for that cookie, or you're not going for that, you know, for whatever the food might be that's causing you to gain weight, you know? So, and it really comes down to that. It comes down to your mind. It comes down to accepting where you are, you know, because we're always comparing ourselves to other people, right? Because we're like, you know, I do it too. Like I'll, you know, watch a yoga video or I'll, you know, and I'll be like looking at that person and be like, oh, mm-hmm. they gotta be doing like that. I should be doing it like that, mm-hmm. you know? But it's like, as a teacher, I'm sure you know.
Oh yeah.
You are telling people, be where you are. You know, there's no reason for you to do the you know, the headstand or whatever, you know, even
right.
something simple like pigeon pose, like that might not be so simple to somebody else, but it just means that that's not where you are in your journey.
That's a thing I'm constantly yeah. saying in my class, just because, you know, sometimes people look around, they think they're supposed to do what the person in front of them is doing or on
mm-hmm.
the side.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking their head left and right, and I'm like if you don't understand what's going on, I'll catch you. You don't have to worry about it, but don't look at the next person because they're doing their own thing. They're focusing on their own thing, you know, and it may
right, not right,
be,
right, right.
You know, they're on a everybody's on a different journey because we're all different people.
Exactly. But I mean, it's the, why do we, I don't know. I don't know why we do it. Like,
it's
I don't know why.
It's insecurities. You
it's
know?
Insecurities. And you know what it is? Yes, it's insecurities. And I think we already assume that that person we're comparing ourselves to is happy. You know what I mean? Like, we're already like, oh, well, look, they're, you know, they look like they're dressed nice. They've got their hair done and their makeup on and, you know, their schedule is all fine, but who knows what's really going on in their life? Doesn't mean
right.
that they're happy. You know, like, look at yourself.
Yeah.
You know? So I think
my mom always told me that.
Yeah.
That it's not true. It's like, she said, like, cause she, I was always very insecure when I was younger, and she would always tell me, Christina, listen, everybody's insecure. Just
yeah.
you just say it more. You just let everybody know.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's so, it's crazy because, you know, I know that you and I have talked about this. We've talked about doing things scared. Cause I know that you're now trying to get yourself out there. You're like, I'm going to post a video. I'm going to do the TikToks. I'm going to, you know, because that's your true joy is acting. Well, that's what you love to do, you mm-hmm. know? But that's, you know, and that's something embedded in you. That's who you truly are. But I know that your fear was, oh my God, I got to get myself out there. But I think that you find so much joy and so much of yourself when you do something that's scary. Because you have to say to yourself, well, why is this scaring me? It's scaring you because you don't know what you're going to feel like. And it's scaring you because you've never done it before, you know,
yeah.
but in the fears, like I'm sure in your fears, you've found such joy, right? You found who you are in that.
Well, you know what? Also, I think that people, when you do something, when you face your fears, and when you even put these fears in front of your face, it's because you think that something is supposed to happen.
Yes.
After whatever it is that you did, either like, for instance, the TikTok things, either I'm supposed to become, you know, get like 100 likes on something, instead of just saying to yourself, you know what, I'm going to post this TikTok because it was fun and I enjoyed it and I don't give a crap what happens. This is where I am today, you know. But like even being afraid to face your fears because you're even afraid to overcome something, because then it will change you. Then you won't be able to attach yourself to that fear anymore.
That's so true. Because we identify with certain things, right? So then mm-hmm. we're afraid that if we no longer identify with it because we conquered it, we're like, now what, you know? So I know that in my own healing journey, I was always waiting for the other shoe to drop because I didn't believe I mm-hmm. deserved to be fully happy. And I always attached myself to my depression or my anxieties. And I always thought that the rest, like I had accepted that I was always going to be this way. I was like, I'm just going to always go through these moments where I might be depressed and anxious, and that's it. And then I began reading texts and I began reading things. And I said to myself, well, what if I changed the story? What if this is not, because I mean, for me, I don't think that was ever God's plan or the universe's plan for anybody mm-hmm. to go through, you know, depressions and anxiety for the rest of their lives. So it's like, well, why don't I change my story, you know, and stop identifying with it and attaching myself to that. And it was in doing that, as scary as it was, because it was so scary, because I had always been through depressions and anxieties throughout, like, let's say my 16 years old, 17 years old and on, that I was like, it was scary to let go. It was scary mm-hmm. to let go of that part of myself. Cause I was like, well, then what, like, what, you know, like what, what else do I have? You know, what else?
I know. It's so funny. Crazy. Because I always thought of you as a person with an edge, but as a person who is just positivity and light and joy. And, but you had kind of like an edge, like, you know, I remember you wouldn't smile in pictures back in the day. Mm-hmm. Like it was just like, you would not show your teeth. You would not grin. I don't, but you know, to me, I was like, oh, you're cool. She's so cool. And like, so two things that you're making me think of is, one is how, when I saw you for the very first time, and I was like, that girl is just happiness. She's light. She's joy. She's everything that I want to be. And this is when I first saw you walking down the street, and I was like, and you know, you were one of the first people that I was like, I need to meet this person when I was younger. And right. I was absolutely drawn to you. Maybe it was God, you know, going, oh yeah, there's Laura. You're going to be, this is one of your forevers. So, you know,
right. So, yeah.
There she is. But then also, and I didn't understand it at the time either. All I just knew was like that you were so freaking amazing. I think in my teenage years, I didn't realize that you were going through stuff. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that that you were going through a lot, because we always laughed it off. We always laughed all of our problems off, and we felt good about our energy together.
But then
I remember one time when I was like being real with you back when I was in high school, you were like, or maybe it was before, I'm just like, you know what? I never thought of you like that. I always think of you like, I never realized you were so insecure. And still, mm-hmm. I had no idea that you had your own stuff going on. I was like, oh my God, she sees me as insecure. That's it. That's the thing that's going to scare her away. Like, so
right.
But the fact is that you were still holding on to your stuff, and you were holding on to mm-hmm. your protective shell to nurture your own insecurities, your own
depression. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what I wanted to say about like depression, anxiety, and I know we've talked about this in the past, depression means hanging on to the past, anxiety means hanging on to the future, whether you believe it or not. It's just, I find it an interesting thing, but it is also just pain, right? Depression is pain, anxiety mm-hmm. is pain. And the pain is actually information telling you that something needs to change in your life. that it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay to be depressed and to, but if you don't notice it, then you're just going to sink in it, you know?
Yes. But yes.
If you do notice it, then you can start to really go deep and go, you know what? What is the thing in my life that needs to change in order for me to feel content?
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes. Because I think the word depression gets such a bad stigma, and that's where I got it. Like I would hear the word depression and be like, oh, I don't want that. But it's like you just said, it's just pain, and it's trying to tell you that there's something in your life that needs to change. That's really what it is. But you know, the initial feeling is, oh my God, I'm in this depression, or sometimes, like you just said, you don't even know that you're in a depression, you know? But yeah, it's usually a sign that something's got to change. If there's something going on with you, it's not a bad thing. And it doesn't mean, and that was another thing too. Like I also accepted after my healing, like I could go into a depression again if I am not aware. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was okay. Like I'm okay with that. I'm okay with it. But I have tools in my belt now. I have, you know, of different ways. I'll be able to notice the signs more now because I've gone through the healing, and I've gone through the process. So I'm able to identify if I'm having an anxious moment or a moment where, you know, things don't seem right. But I'll notice it in the sense of what is going on right now that's making me anxious, or what's going on that I'm thinking about that I'm holding on to that is making me feel this feeling of depression. You know, there's that shift, you know?
If you never had depression, if you never had anxiety,
yes,
and then all of a sudden you get it, you may not know that you can overcome it. You may not know that Absolutely. You can go past it, and you may mm-hmm. not be able to stop and think. You might think, oh my gosh, you know, this is right. it, you know?
Right, right. And that's, you know, and I'm glad we're talking about this too, because May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So, you know, it's nice. I want to put it out there that mm-hmm. if anybody's going through anything, you know, depression, anxiety, PTSD, anything under that umbrella, know that there is a way out. You know, you're not stuck in it, whether it is medication, therapy, holistic therapy, however, you know, there is a way, there's another side to it.
Yeah.
So, and I think that maybe we'll post some links and some phone numbers for people to reach out should they be something right now.
Yeah. I'm definitely like, of course, if you have to take medication, you have to take medicine. If that's a thing mm-hmm. that works for you, it works for you. I don't know that area. That is definitely not my scope. And I'm also myself, it's hard enough for me to even take vitamins. So I'm just the type of person that's like, okay, what am I going to do? Am I going to meditate? I'm going to do writing pages. I'm going to find a holistic way. If that doesn't work for you, then it doesn't work. And you talk to a therapist or psychiatrist and see what you can do to help yourself. Mm-hmm. But know that mm-hmm. you don't have to live in that depression. You don't have to live in that right. anxiety. That is not you. That's not right. it. Just an experience that you have or you're feeling. And if that is,
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, you have to just not just overcome it. Cause obviously you can't just, some people just can't overcome it, but to understand that, you know, there are options, like you said.
Yeah. There's coping mechanisms. There are ways to, live with it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can find, like we just said, contentment. You can find it, you know? And if that means talking to a therapist to figure out what is going on inside of you, if that means medication, if that means, you know, whatever it is. But we luckily live in a world where we have so many things available to us. And I'm so grateful for that, because I can't imagine years and years and years and years ago, because obviously, you know, things, mental health has been around forever. Can't mm-hmm. imagine, you know, what these men and women went through when going through something like this without having the tools that we have today, you know?
Oh yeah. So, yeah. And having people kind of speaking out and saying, hey, I'm with you, that you have the support right. system there too.
Right. Right.
Let's talk about contentment itself. What does it feel like to be content? Do you think that you are a content person? I don't know.
I think, yes, I definitely feel like I found my, I definitely feel like I'm a content person. I've mm-hmm. been told, especially like in the, and in like the recent years by my own husband, and even by others, like I'm very chill with what I have. And I'm very much now I've learned to be like very much in the moment kind of person. I accept what is. There are moments when like anger does come over me if something is not working exactly the way I want it, but mm-hmm. I'm able to realize it more now and be like, okay, it is what it is. Do I still like to shop? Of course, you know, I still like, you know, to, but I'm not looking for contentment in that way.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for joy in that way. It's just something I like to do. But I do, I'm content with my life. I'm content with my routine. I'm content if my routine doesn't work out. Like I literally let whatever the day may bring come at me, and you know, it is what it is. I'm also not sitting here having the day happen to me. I have my routine. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, it's fine too, you know, but I do find joy in, you know, I'll take the time out to read. I'll take the time out to just sit and relax. So yeah, I think I've definitely found my contentment because I've discovered who I really am, and I really like myself. So
yeah. Yeah.
What about you?
I feel like my journey has taken me to a place of contentment, just of self-acceptance, of being okay with the given circumstance. And just that's kind of like my joy ride, is just living day to day. And I feel like one of the things that really helped me was just, let's just talk about the journey. I went from teaching yoga and feeling happy go lucky and just like this high energy person all the time to coming into the whole pandemic,
mm-hmm.
and then like, you know, having the darkness enter,
right.
And then like me and then learning how to overcome stuff through that,
right?
Then also coming out of it and this figuring out where I am. And then to the point where we are right now, which is that we've gone through yamas and niyamas, and each one of those things, I swear, it's just like when we just, reading it is one thing because I've read this book, but then actually discussing it and talking mm-hmm. about it and having this exchange has made me myself really find what I've had, which is contentment, which is,
right,
you know what I mean? Like I've definitely... felt that I had contentment, but now I feel like I'm celebrating my contentment.
Right.
You know, like right. I'm happy yes. for like myself.
You're like living in your contentment. You're yes. celebrating. Yes.
Because I definitely think like one of the things that was stopping me from being content was having, you know, the non-cleanliness that I felt. Like
right.
piles of mess everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
And hating cleaning. Like I didn't like to clean. Now I like to clean. Now I'm like looking forward to clean. And now I feel content. It's so weird.
Right.
So weird.
Well, it's like, because you've accepted it. Like, it's yes. like, we started off this podcast and I started saying, oh my God, you know, I'm always like, oh my God, I haven't published a book yet, but I'm content in the journey. I'm mm-hmm. content yeah. in accepting myself and saying that I am a writer. I don't have to have a book, you know, published. Like that's not going to make or break me. At the end of my life, I'm not going to be lying in my bed going, oh my God, I never published a book. Like who yeah. knows what can happen between today and tomorrow. So
yeah,
I'm content in the journey. I'm content in the getting there. If I should get there and if it's meant for me, like I always say that, like I wake up every morning, I do my prayers and the prayers are always like, God, bring me what is meant for me. If it is your will, you know, like maybe it isn't meant for me. Maybe I'm just meant to write certain things here and there and just be content in that. You know? So yes. I've accepted where I am in life. Yeah, so
listen, Dorothy Parker wasn't content, and she's one of my favorite writers, but because she never made a novel, she wasn't content, right. You know? I mean, there's other people right. that have all these things that we admire, and we like, you know, Emily Dickinson. She didn't really get famous until after she died, I believe, because she didn't know if she wanted fame. She went
right.
She waffled back and forth. You know, like, do
right,
I
right,
have
right.
fame? Like, it, like, because I think really when it comes down to it is that she did feel content in just doing her own thing in writing, and yes. she didn't need to have the fame with it.
And that's exactly my thing. My thing is I don't want the fame. I'm okay without having my name, you know, my book, you know, on a shelf at Barnes and Noble, you know, like I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. I never wanted fame. Yeah, but even if I don't, like I'm fine, because I for me know that I've touched enough lives yeah. in my small community or in my own way with my writing that I'm content in that, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I was reading one of your poems the other day. I'll tell you about it. Okay. Later. But yeah, and it really spoke to me. So, but that's really what it comes down to, you know, like when you talk about reaching people, we're all mm-hmm. put on this planet, and we're all connected, and we're right. all important. We're impacting people in ways that we don't even know, you know, no. whether it's yep. you know, just always think of yourself as a hero. If you've actually shared something with someone to help somebody, right? Because they're going to remember that. That's going to yeah. be a mark in their life.
Yes.
Yes. There's a song by Fiona Apple that actually got awards. And I was so happy because, you know, I absolutely love Fiona Apple since I was in high school. Still love her to this yeah. day. And the song is called Shamika. So it's about a girl named Shamika that when things were rough for Fiona Apple in high school, Shamika said she had potential. Shamika would always tell her, she didn't always tell her. She met her once. She said to her, you have potential. And that simple thing of just praising her and go, you know, you have potential, stuck in her mind. To the point wow. of her success, you know, because
right, works right.
and believed in her, you know. So whatever you wow. do, if you're sending out positivity, you could be changing people's lives for the better.
Yes, 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 you yes, know? Yes. If you are using the gifts that you have been given,
yeah,
you're on the right path. Yeah,
yeah. And if you're not using the gifts that you've been given, then you're right. like. Cheating the world. What was it? Tony Robbins and John was talking about.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Exactly.
You're cheating the world exactly. of your gift. So there was, before we go, I wanted to share this one thing. My husband likes to listen to motivational speakers, and I'm kind of like passing by in the background, or I'll do like whatever and I'll listen to it. But in the background, and I always get inspired by something that, you know, of course I feel like God wants me to hear at that moment. And one of the things he said is I forgot how my husband probably says it better, but it's like, why do you expect people to understand your gift? God gave you the gift. How do you expect them mm-hmm. to understand it? And that yes. goes into the way of like trying to get like your family members to say, oh, that's great, you did a great job, or somebody to understand your vision. Oh, that's what it was. Your vision. Why do right. you expect
it's your vision
to understand your vision? God gave you the vision.
Right. I love that. I love that. Right? That is so true though. Yeah. 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 Exactly.
I love
exactly.
that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's perfect. That's a perfect ending to this.
Okay. Bye. No, I'm just kidding. So we do want to, wrap up the show by giving closing thoughts. What did you get out of the episode?
Takeaways. Yes. Takeaways. So the takeaway is okay. So my takeaway is very quick. It's accepting who you are and where you are right now in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's what yeah. I got. So
That's all you got? Okay. Perfect. It was beautiful. Yeah, my takeaway is that I'm in a way different place than I was mentally when I was younger. And I'm very happy with that. I'm very proud of that for myself. And it was the way it was supposed to be. That's just the journey that I was on. And now I can appreciate that I don't need to seek a happiness high. I don't need to seek this spark of joy, this happiness. I don't have to turn on something funny just so I can clean, so that I can feel joy. I could just be content and present with where I am, with, you know, just washing a table, going to the next thing, setting up the pillows, you know, and that is the happiness. That's the joy right there. Just being content in the experience of life.
Right.
So yeah, I think that was a profound. If you want to take a moment and write that down, we'll pause for a moment.
Yeah. No,
I'm so stupid. All right. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Okay. Shouldn't have said that I was stupid. Because that's like my way of laughing at myself. But you shouldn't do that, people. Don't say things.
But you should laugh at yourself. You should laugh at yourself.
Exactly. Yes, you should laugh at yourself, but don't name call yourself. Which is an old past hobby of mine. So
I know it. I know it.
All right. So Tootsie, thank you so much.
Yes.
For sharing.
Yes. I'm glad we got to do this. And we will be back next week with tapas, right? That is our next
niyama. Ooh, I love tapas, olives, and oh my gosh.
That's tapas. Amazing. What is tapas? Tapas is self-discipline. Mm-hmm. So that should be interesting. Because I know that's a hard one. But
that's a hard one for me.
Mm-hmm. That's a hard one. Because it can go both ways, right? You can be self-disciplined to the point where it's like miserable, mm-hmm. or you can be self-disciplined to the point where you're reaching parts of yourself and exploring parts of yourself. They're like, oh, wow. You know, that's pretty amazing. So,
yeah.
All right. I guess we'll see. All right. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah.
And we will hopefully hear, or we won't see you next week, but we'll hear from you next week.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.